Amen.
We found him.
Amen.
We love him.
Amen.
What's his name? Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you revived? That's a reviving name. When we call on that name, we are revived. How wonderful. That's a law. It's this book in the law of revival is so wonderful. We wouldn't even imagine such a book could exist. I believe this book consists of messages given at the very end of the 1950s, perhaps early in 1960, because the messages first appeared in print in late 1960 in the Ministry of the Word magazine. So we've kind of, the dates of the giving of these messages is unknown. But anyway, it's around that time. So in the 1950s, Brother Lee gave a lot of messages on the experience of life, right? We have that thick book, The Experience of Life. We have the book, The Knowledge of Life. We have the book, Knowing Life and the Church is another one. So the decade of the 50s, Brother Lee was ministering a lot on the matter of life, experiencing life. And of course, this life is a person. It's the Lord Jesus himself. So I would say maybe this book fits into that kind of that line, right, of how to experience life, Christ as life. And so in the first message last night, you saw that in our experience of Christ as our life, in our pursuing of the Lord to gain him. And by the way, this is a normal Christian life. A normal Christian is a pursuing Christian. Is a seeking Christian, not a wandering, drifting Christian. He's a pursuer of Christ. And I like to present to you the Apostle Paul. He was a great pattern to us, right? He was always pursuing the Lord, right? In Philippians 3, you can see Paul was a pursuer. And he charged Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, flee youthful lusts and pursue. So a normal Christian is a pursuing Christian, a seeking Christian. If you are not a seeking Christian, I would invite you to pray, Lord, make me a seeking Christian.
Amen.
I want to be a normal Christian.
Amen.
Not one who has no aim or goal, right? One who has Christ as his goal. And you're always pursuing to gain Christ. Paul was such a person. So since he had such a wonderful goal that he wanted to attain, he wanted to gain this super excellent person, this all-inclusive person, this person who is boundless in his riches, he was not living his Christian life in a nameless way. And he told us, in 1 Corinthians, that he was running the race. So we have to be race runners. We should not be drifters. We should be running the race. And then in Hebrews, right, he told us we should run the race with endurance. So we are in a race. We are in a pursuit of a wonderful person that we want, whom we want to gain. So we saw last night that in this pursuing, in the process of our pursuing of Christ, our pathway, our journey has many beginnings, many courses or processes, and many endings. Now that is enlightening, because we always would like to have one straight path from the beginning to the end, right? So if we don't know this, we may be troubled and even stumbled and not knowing what's going on. What's going on? I've reached a point in my Christian life, I'm just not satisfied anymore. I'm not happy, you know. Something's wrong. Well, this is a sign that we have reached the end of one of the courses and that the next thing ahead of us is a new beginning.
Amen.
The Lord is a God of new beginnings, right? He always wants us to have a new beginning. So we have course after course. beginning, course, ending. Beginning, course, ending. This is our pathway. And how do we know this? Well, Brother Lee uses the Song of Songs, the book, the Song of Songs, to point this out, right? The lover and the seeker. She's a seeker. My goodness, she's a seeker. All the way. But she has various experiences in her seeking and pursuing of the Lord, right? In the beginning, she's, you know, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Your love is better than wine. Your name is ointment poured forth. You know, she's enjoying the Lord. I'm in the banqueting house, you know. My beloved is to me a bundle of myrrh, a hen of flowers. You know, she's just full of feeling, and full of enjoyment of the Lord. But eventually, that stage comes to an end in her pursuit. And so we need to be aware. It's good to reach a point in your pursuing of the Lord where you're not satisfied. You feel something, you feel kind of dry, you know, maybe even a little down, you know, or maybe even a little bit of darkness. And you wonder, what's happening? What's wrong? You know, what's wrong? Well, it may be that nothing is wrong, really wrong, but you have reached the end of a course. And therefore, you need to have a new beginning. You should be looking ahead, not behind. Oh, it was better back there. No, it's never better back there. It's always better forward, going forward.
Amen.
Because we haven't reached the goal yet. And the goal in the Song of Songs, of course, is that this pursuer, this seeker, becomes a Shulamite. She becomes a reproduction of Solomon. And she is one with her beloved in his work on the earth, carrying out his move on the earth, you know. They're taking care of the vineyards, and they're just together, working together as one. And they're just one in every way. So this is the goal. This is the goal toward which we are pursuing. We haven't reached that goal yet, but we need to make progress. And we can make progress at all times. We don't have to have long pauses where we're kind of down and out and we just are lost, you know. Because when we come to that point of the end of a certain stage, we know what's next. What's next is a new beginning. Isn't that encouraging?
Amen.
A new beginning.
Amen.
And as I think we heard last night, Christ is our new beginning. He has the renewing power to make us new and make everything new. So we need a new beginning. So in the second chapter of this book that we're going through, Brother Lee says that these messages are given to serving ones. They might have been co-workers, you know. Well, you say, I'm not a co-worker. Well, it's okay. The serving ones are just the ones who take the lead. We follow them, you know. We follow them. We're the same. Our course and our pathway is the same as theirs. But Brother Lee was very concerned because he said most of them are living in their feelings. Some of them feel like the Lord is so pleasant. What a wonderful, you know, I'm just enjoying him. I can touch him. I can sense his presence. I sense his sweetness when I pray, when I read the word. We all say, oh, that's what I want. And then some have lost the sense of the Lord's presence and his sweetness. And they're down and they're oppressed. And they say, I want to quit serving. I just want to withdraw because I'm in this kind of state. Brother Lee says that both of these conditions indicate that the person is in his emotions. The one is emotions are high. The other's emotions are low. But nevertheless, both are in their emotions. So it's possible for a believer to have many ups and downs in their emotions. And the frequency of the up and down, like a wave in the ocean, is related to your disposition. If you're very sensitive and your feelings are very tender, you'll have lots of like that. But if you're a person not very sensitive, You know, maybe more like that. The frequency, you know, the frequency of the oscillations of the waves is less. Nevertheless, all you do, all you have is ups and downs in your emotions, right? So you're, in a sense, you're stuck in your emotions. And this is where the seeker in the Song of Songs starts out, right? Everything is so positive in the beginning, right? The song we sang, you know, so beautiful, so positive. But then she reaches a point where she needs something more to move her forward. And what does she need? Not something in her emotions. She needs a vision, a revelation of the Lord himself, which is not related to her feelings. She needs to see Christ, you know. So eventually, in the near the beginning of the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, she's in a room with her beloved is outside, not with her, but there's a window. She can see through it. And so he appears to her, what, leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills, like a young hart and a gazelle. So he's showing her that he is full of strength, vitality, and power. So this is a vision of Christ in his resurrection.
Wow.
So the lover of the seeker, the pursuer, receives a vision of the Lord that has nothing to do with her feelings. And Brother Lee says, this is what we need to get out of our situation of being in the emotions. We need to see Christ in his resurrection.
Amen.
That he is the powerful one. He is the strong one. He is of one full of vitality.
Amen.
We may not feel vital, but he is vital.
Amen.
We may feel weak, but he's powerful.
Amen.
Or he's strong, right? He's not like he's in rest. He is in resurrection.
Amen.
Where is he today? He is in his resurrection.
Amen.
And he is resurrection. He is the power of resurrection. With him, there is the power of resurrection. And I thought of Philippians 3:10, right, where Paul said, to know him and the power of his resurrection. So Paul aspired to know the power of Christ's resurrection. And we need this, saints, for every aspect of our Christian life. We need to know Christ in his resurrection power. Because many times our environment is not that good. There's oppressive thing. There are mountains and hills along our pathway, right? How can we keep going forward only one way? That is to experience Christ as the power of resurrection.
Amen.
The power that is able, the one who is able to leap on the mountains and skip on the hills. No obstacle can stop him. So if we know the Lord in his resurrection, then we too will be unstoppable.
Amen.
I don't mean that in a negative sense, but we will always be able to go on, no matter what kind of obstacle we encounter. Sometimes the obstacles are inward, sometimes they are not inward, they are outward. So the Lord in his resurrection, what is he doing in his resurrection? He's moving. He's moving. That means he's carrying out God's move on the earth. Right? She's in the room behind the wall in her feelings. She's concerned about her enjoyment, her satisfaction. I'm not enjoying so much now. I'm not satisfied like I used to be. That's where she is. He's in God's move. He's moving in his resurrection. And so he calls to her. He says, come away, my beloved. Come away. I want you to be where I am. So the Lord wants us to leave our seclusion in our emotions and to join him in God's move by the resurrection power. And Paul was such a one. He was such a one. He was always in the move of the Lord, right? And the obstacles that he faced are just, you know, they would cause me, they would put me on the floor, you know. I can't go on. But Paul was always moving because he experienced Christ in his resurrection as the powerful one who was always operating within him. So when the beloved one presents himself to her as the one leaping on the mountain, skipping on the hills, in his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, her response is not very positive. She just likes to stay where she is. She says, "I like to stay where I am. Don't bother me, you know." Let's see. She says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies until the day dawns and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young hart on the mountains of Bether." That's where she is. So she doesn't. So he calls her to come away, but she doesn't respond. She stays where she is. Maybe she feels that she's more comfortable there and prefers to be where she has been. You know, so sometimes we are reluctant to give up the past and move on, you know. So this, according to the book, it says this portrays the seeker being unwilling to come out of her emotions, unwilling to part with the past. So the lover is, the beloved is moving. She still stays behind. But the problem is the Lord is not going to come join us where we are. He's going to keep calling us forward until we join him where he is. So we have to break away from the things of the past and see that the Lord is in resurrection.
Amen.
Oh, by such a seeing, we will take a further step and we will know the Lord's resurrection, which is what we need. So the only way to be delivered from living in our emotions in the past is to touch the Lord in his resurrection power, right? And then we will be freed from being restricted and held back. So she sees a vision of him, right? He is in resurrection. She's not in resurrection. He is, though. So she is called out of her past. And I remember the verse, right? Paul was a pursuer. He said, "Forgetting the things which are behind, I stretching forward to the things which are before." How could Paul be such a person? No doubt that he contacted the Lord and he knew the power of Christ's resurrection.
Wow.
He experienced this power that was able to bring him on with the Lord in his pursuit of the Lord and not caused him to be held back by anything that he encountered in his service in the Lord's ministry. So the good thing about this is that the Lord is the resurrection.
Amen.
He is the power of resurrection.
Amen.
And the better news is that he dwells in us.
Amen.
We see him in his resurrection power, but we have to realize this power is within us. It's not that he is just outside of us in resurrection. He's now in us as the power of resurrection. So when we see this vision of Christ in resurrection as the Spirit dwelling in us, then we are delivered from our limitations, right? And we're able to join him, leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. We join him in God's move. That's where he wants us. He wants us to be in his move, not in our concern for our enjoyment and our satisfaction. So we need an objective vision of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we're in the recovery, saints. The Word of God is open to us. Where do we see Christ? We see him in the Word. And the Word is open to us in the Lord's recovery. So we are in the position, the place to see the vision of the resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, the victorious Christ. I mean, we're in the place where we can see something that's outside of ourselves. but that is actually inside of us. And that is the Lord himself, right? He is what he is in himself, but he's also in us. So Brother Lee points out in this chapter that to be delivered from living according to our feelings is equivalent to being delivered from the self. So as long as we're in our feelings and in our emotions, caring for our enjoyment and satisfaction, we are in the self. We are just in ourselves. The Lord wants to deliver us out of our emotions, out of our feelings, out of ourself, so that we can participate in him. And then Brother Lee comes to the way to have a revival. He says the only way to have a revival, a new beginning, is to open. Open. At one point in this chapter, he says, the Lord as the resurrection power in us is like an explosive force. As long as we're willing to open it and let it explode from within us, we will have a prevailing revival. So we have to realize there's an explosive force within us. He says, every one of us is a firecracker, and Christ is our gunpowder. We just need to let him out, right? He's in us as the powerful one, the one who is able to bring us into a new beginning with him and to take us on beyond all obstacles. So he just needs to have a way out. Well, what is the way out? The way out is for us to be open. For us to be open. Not to be secluded, but to be open. And Brother Lee in this chapter gives us a way, several ways, as far as I can see, to be open. One is, and this is confirmed by Brother Lee's fellowship on the vital groups. He said when the vital groups come together, the saints should open themselves to each other, right, and have fellowship. What is your situation? What is your condition, you know, to let people know? But Brother Lee says, we don't see this. What we have is just behaving. Everybody behaves. No one wants to make a mistake. Everyone wants to be a good boy and a good girl. I have seen this for many years, and I'm disgusted with this, he says. Listen to this sentence. I love this sentence. I want to see a group of seeking saints coming together to gain the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
That's what a vital group should be. That's what a group meeting should be. It should be a meeting, a gathering of seeking saints who come together to gain the Lord.
Amen.
Not just to have a kind of a nice time, you know. To behave and to perform in front of each other and pretend that everything is okay. So there are times when we need to open to the saints. And let the saints know that I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I need your prayer. That kind of opening often will release the Lord from within.
Amen.
And we will be brought into a new, you know. Some things we shouldn't open, of course. We have to be careful. But on the other hand, we need to be open with each other. Okay, that's one way to open. That is to let the saints know what your condition is so that they can stand with you, pray for you. And right in that meeting, you may find the remedy, you know, if we open. Opening is a very great thing. I remember that this was, again, these messages were given before the 1960s, and two very wonderful things were given to the recovery in the 1960s. What are they? Calling on the Lord. We didn't have, you know, the saints didn't have calling on the Lord before then, at this time. But now we have the way of calling on the Lord.
Amen.
How can you open yourself? Call on the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Oh, aren't you happy that we have calling on the Lord?
Amen.
The Lord is rich to all who call.
Amen.
Whoever calls will be saved.
Amen.
We need to call on the Lord. Open up our being and call on the Lord.
Amen.
And then the other thing that the Lord gave us is pray reading the Word. We should come to the Word and exercise our spirit to pray with the Word. And this will open us and will let the gunpowder, let the firecracker go. Sorry, this is my emergency. If I ever run into an emergency, I'm supposed to... Your call has been canceled.
Amen.
Okay, you get one when you get my age. This is from our insurance, health insurance. It's free. Anyway, okay, pray reading the Word. We can pray read the Word. I tell you, that is a way to be revived.
Amen.
We need to pray read the Word. And then another thing we can do is we can pray with others.
Amen.
Come together, small groups, two, threes, prayer meeting. Don't hold yourself in, right? Open yourself up and pray.
Amen.
But we can pray with short prayers, right? You don't have to compose. We don't have to compose long prayers. In fact, Brother Lee said, long prayers kill the prayer. If we pray with short prayers, we open ourselves up and the Lord can come out, right? And bring us to a new beginning. This is one way to open. Another way to open is to confess our sins to the Lord. This is really important, saints. If we accumulate, you know, unconfessed sins, we will sense that there's a distance between us and Him, right? Something in our inner being will not feel right. We'll feel there's some darkness. There's some depression within us, right? But if we confess our sins to the Lord and receive the cleansing of His blood, immediately the Lord comes out. The Lord ministers Himself to us, right? We sense His presence again. And as we go on, you know, most of the sins that we confess will be inward, like wrong attitude, you know, various inward things, you know, because the Lord gets finer and deeper with us as we go on with Him, right? The more we go on with the Lord, the more sensitive we become to our inner condition before Him. And we confess our sins to Him. This is a wonderful thing. I said in the past, if you don't confess your sins in a given day, one of two things must be true. You were in your spirit the whole day. Not very likely, right? And number two, you weren't in your spirit even a second. Because you have no feeling. Right? I mean, either you were in your spirit the whole day and everything was good, or you were not in your spirit any time during the day and you simply were unaware of what was going on. But if we touch the Lord in our spirit, if we seek the Lord, pursue Him in our spirit, we will have a sense within, right? And He will point out things to us. He will point out things in our mind, our emotion, our will. You know, we have problems, inward problems. And sometimes these are manifested in different ways, but we can confess to Him. This is another way to open to the Lord, to let Him, as the resurrection power, be activated within us. And then another way, I feel, is to speak in the meetings. First of all, we should prepare to speak in the meeting. That means any kind of meeting, home meeting, prophesying meeting, we should be ready to speak. In the chapter, Brother Lee says that some are reluctant to speak because they don't feel inspired. But he says, however, as long as we are open, inspiration will come. Inspiration will come. So even if you don't have tremendous inspiration, you can still speak something for the Lord. This is another way to let the Lord, as the resurrection power, come out and renew us and bring us to a new beginning. So to me, this is very helpful, saints. We need to learn to be open. Learn to be open. Don't seclude yourself in your emotions, in your feelings. Just be open and realize that when you reach a point where you're not satisfied, the Lord wants you to go on. The Lord wants you to have a new start with Him, right? And so all of these courses with their endings and new beginnings, they bring us onward with the Lord until we reach the end of the Song of Songs, when we become the Shulamite. That's our goal, right? To become the Shulamite, to be the reproduction of Solomon. And then we are one with him in his move. So we should realize the Lord wants us to participate in his move.
Amen.
Whether it's whatever way we can, we need to move with him. Whether it's just being in the church life, serving the Lord full time, migrating to another city or country, we want to be in the move of the Lord. Not in our own things, concerned about our own, going on. But we want to be in the Lord's move. I'm so grateful for this chapter, for this book, actually. So I think that's all I'm going to say. So be encouraged. Oh, there's power within you.
Amen.
This power is the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
He is the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
And whenever we touch him, we are revived.
Amen.
This is what the footnote says, right? The way to be revived is to contact the Lord.
Amen.
As the resurrected one in our spirit, with the one who has the power of revival. We don't have the power of revival, but he does. It says here, not here. In his footnote, it says, the way to experience revival is to contact Christ by repenting and confessing our sins, failures, and darkness, thereby entering into him as the resurrection. Another footnote says, whenever we contact such a Christ, we are brought from the desolation of the 2 days to the resurrection of the 3rd day. And that's revival. And that's a new beginning. And that's progress. So we're going on. And when I look back on my own experience, I often ask myself, why am I up sometimes? Why am I down? I don't understand. I can't even tell you how I got up and why I went down. I just cannot tell you. But I think I was experiencing. We all experience these things, right? Sometimes you're up. You're just enjoying the Lord. The Lord is so fresh and real. Other times you're just down. Why? You can't figure it out. If you try to figure it out, you get more depressed. Right? So we should take this as a sign. And I think Dennis said last night, and Eric will say next message, a green light.
Amen.
Oh, when you're down, there's a green light there.
Amen.
Saying, go on. A new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. That's encouraging.
Amen.
Okay, I'll stop.